唱的时候，从我们的心里向神来说话。When we sing, let us sing from the bottom of our heart, in spirit and in truth. 因为圣经说，神要寻找的是这样子的，用心灵跟诚实来敬拜他。So let us worship Him in spirit and in truth. 我们再唱一次。Hallelujah. 这次我们把我们的眼睛闭起来。Let us close our eyes as we sing this song. And talk to our Lord and tell Him that we love Him. Hallelujah. 告诉他我爱你主。在这 们把我们所做的一切交托在你手中，哈利路亚，我们要与你同在，哈利路亚，安息在你的爱中。哦，主，我们把的计划放下，从你天上领受你的话语，安静在你面前等候。哦，主，你今天要做新事在我们当中，哈利路亚，我们感谢赞美你。哦，主耶稣，愿你的宝血再度涂抹遮盖我们这里所有的每一个人。主，愿你圣灵与我们同在。哦，主，愿你同在充满在这个地方，愿你恩膏我们的讲员，借着他来传扬你的话，来造就我们。主，我们高举耶稣基督的圣名，这样祷告祈求，奉耶稣基督拿撒勒的名求，阿门。
阿门。
哈利路亚。
请坐。
就那。
我们今天非常的感谢神，有 Pastor Robert 从 LA 上来。那过去我曾经读过他的这本书 God's General， 也翻成中文，不晓得我们当中有多少人读过这本书啊？感谢主，有好几位啊！我的老大是很喜欢看这本书。那么 Pastor Robert 啊，不单啊牧养教会啊，他所建立的教会现在在全世界有差不多40几个教会，他的建立的教会也是在全美国100个增长最快的教会的其中的一间。那他刚才还跟我分享到，他们所建立的神学院在洛杉矶啊，过去已经差派了150位的宣教士去到全世界各地。所以感谢神，不但使用他建立教会传福音，同时也建立神学院啊，造就神的工人啊，被差派到全世界。那么感谢神，他爱主，被神呼召，他的父母也是传道人啊，从小就把他奉献给神。那很感谢神 ，Pastor Roberts， 他像保罗有三重天的经历，他小的时候就被主带到天上游天堂，很多奇妙的经历。他像保罗有三重天的经历，当然他也像彼得，曾经有软弱跌倒啊。过去啊，这几个礼拜有些同学也看到一些 email， 但感谢神，神重新把他兴起啊。他虽然曾经是有彼得的软弱，但是他不是犹大，感谢神，神再一次使用他。过去这3年有美好的见证跟侍奉，所以我们非常的高兴他今天来到我们当中，要做神的出口来向我们说话。So now I give the time to Pastor Robert. Let's welcome him and clap our hands.
Well, hello everybody. You want to translate for me? Is it the way it works? Okay, I'm in America, but I'm in China, right? So, well, I've been all over Asia for quite a few years. The Lord's been really good to me and allowed me to be in over 100 countries of the world. And to have many foreign offices as well to work in those countries. And so I'm always glad to be with future leaders. I think future leaders are the most important thing you can sow into. So I spend a lot of time in seminaries and Bible schools and places where they're growing leaders. And so I appreciate our brother inviting me to be with you today. And I hope I'll have something good to tell you so you can have a good life. God wants you to have a victorious life. And He wants every part of your life to be victorious and wonderful. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. But I do want to mention this book that I gave to you today. I didn't write it, but I would have loved to have written it. But I wrote a little foreword for it. I'm a student of church history. And I love to see how God uses people all through their lives and what God does through them. And God uses the most unusual people to do the greatest things. And one of my favorite people I've ever studied is William Booth. And I have not written his life story. I'm in the process right now of writing his life story as well. But this book here is a great story of the Salvation Army. Now today the Salvation Army is just a little bell ringer as we see at Christmas time. But in the middle 1800s and the early 1900s, they were the greatest revival on the planet at that time. So they really don't fit in the evangelical world too well. And they don't fit too well in the Pentecostal charismatic world either. Because they were too militant for both sides. But God loved them. And they are a great part of church history. William and Catherine Booth revolutionized Christian missions and the Christianity in Great Britain and America. He was a Methodist. And he left the Methodist Church because they didn't like the way he was doing evangelism. He was getting too many people saved too fast for the churches to handle. And they tried to take his evangelistic ministry away from him. And his wife said, hell no. I know that's a strange word to say, but she screamed that from the balcony. She said, no, we're not going to do that. She wasn't cussing. She was saying, hell, you're not going to do this to us, is what she was saying. And they went out and left the Methodist Church and went out and began to get people saved faster and better. And it grew so fast, they called themselves the Salvation Army. That when William Booth died, he left 11,000 trained preachers in the earth. Of them. And he was in 80 countries of the world. And I hope this book will inspire you like it did me. Because I think you should do it again. You can't just be a nice, quiet Christian and change the world. He was a radical guy. In his day, he allowed women to preach. And that was in the Victorian era when women didn't do hardly anything. And his wife, Catherine, was a better preacher than he was. And they have written many great books. And I love their story. They also were the ones that helped change the child labor laws in America and Great Britain. And helped change the work status of the 8-hour work day. Because when they were ministering, they kept seeing that children of 5, 6, and 7 were working 12 hours a day. And they felt that the gospel compelled them to help fix that problem. So the goodness of God will eventually cause you to reach into social issues and help bring hope to them. But open your Bible today, I'm going to preach to you a different sermon. But I wanted to give this to you today as a gift from me to you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And hopefully you'll have some time to read it among all your other readings you have to do.
Yeah,
so there you go. Those are my other books. I've written 42 books. And I've sold 6 million of them. And I have only brought these two today. So I hope you'll enjoy that. Okay. Now, I've been in ministry for 22 years. And since I'm like in a chapel time, I don't have to follow a certain type of thought or a subject today. And so I'm going to kind of touch some things I think are important to us as ministers. I began preaching when I was 13. And so I've been going for quite a long time. And some of you are starting. And you're in the greatest field of occupation there is. Because you affect two worlds. You affect the natural world that we live in. And you affect eternal world, people's lives in the afterlife. You see, if you're just a doctor or a lawyer, you're only helping them out on earth things. But when you're a minister of the gospel, you're helping them out spiritually and naturally. So you've got at least a twofold role there as a minister. But also you're in the craziest occupation there is in the world. And when you start pastoring and preaching, you'll find out that it is crazy sometimes. We sit in the classroom like this, and we hear the theology taught to us and some practical things about ministry taught. But when you walk out those doors on graduation day, and you take your first missionary post or your post in a church somewhere, you'll probably say this, I wasn't taught about this stuff. I don't know about all of this. That doesn't mean that your education wasn't good. But at the same time, you're being educated. Culture and people are moving. And all of a sudden, all that you've learned that is good and great has to be simplified to where the local young lady and young man wants to hear what you have to say. If the young couple or the young single folks walking down the street don't want to hear what you have to say, then you have to change what you're saying. Because they won't argue scripture with you. They won't argue Greek and Hebrew with you. They don't know and they don't care. It's good that we know. But they don't know and they don't care. And if you try to teach them Greek and Hebrew, they'll go, whatever. What they're going to want to know, how does Jesus help them today? What does Jesus help me do today? Does he help me in my life? In my money? In my health? They're going to ask practical questions like that. And if you can answer those questions in a way they understand from the scriptures, they will flock to your church and they will listen to you and they'll be happy. If you can't answer practical questions, you're taking the slow road to success. Because remember this, and I know we both have Bible schools that we both have built, that many things that you're going to have to do, you have not learned in school. You're going to have to learn when you're out there on the field. Are you with me this morning? Do we say amen or oh me or something in here? Okay. Just want to make sure you're awake ever so often, okay? All right, so let's go to 3 John. It's a little epistle of St. John. And I want to talk about this verse and go here. We're going to talk about three things that I think are important for us to just touch today. I know we come from different faith backgrounds here in the Bible College. And I'm glad to be able to speak to you. I come from the Pentecostal expression or the charismatic expression of faith. We are the loud children in God's family. If you have three kids in a home, there'll be a quiet one. There'll be maybe a more of an intellectual one. And there's always one that runs around, screams and hollers, and is the wild child. And I kind of picture the charismatic Pentecostals in all of God's children. The charismatic folks are the loud children.
信徒是比较会大声叫的。
I'm not saying that's always great, but that's what we are, I think.
我们是这样的背景。
And so it's always, we're always some of the loudest groups. So I grew up in a very expressionable church. My grandparents were Assemblies of God pastors and built 23 churches. And our family has always been preachers in it. Like some families are lawyers and presidents, we're preachers.
有些人他们家庭是有人做律师，但是我们所有的家族都是传道人。
And so when I begin to accept the call of God on my life,
我接受整个呼召。
I realized that there had to be some changes.
我觉得需要有些的改变。
And we had to grow in our understanding.
我们需要在我们的悟性里面有长进。
That most preachers are broke.
很多的传道人都是穷的。
Number one, they're broke. They have no money.
都是穷苦的。
And number two, their churches are broke.
他们的教会也是很穷苦。
Number three, the third thing I'll say, is they are not very strong leaders.
他们都不是有能力的领袖。
They're more people that just obey what the group says instead of tell the group what to do.
那么都是好像被会有牵着鼻子走。
And that's why churches don't grow.
所以教会不会长进。
Because of the leadership style.
因为那个领袖的方式有问题。
Now, out of being in Bible school,
我读过神学院。
God's given you a personal vision for certain things in the earth.
让你有一些的意象。
And those things are probably very true and very real that God's given you.
神给你的意象是很真实的。
But there's always a problem.
但常常会有些难处。
With vision.
我们的意象会遇到难处。
It's called money.
就是经济。
And we always need more money.
我们需要经济。
To deal with all the vision.
来成全这个事工的意象。
Like if the Bible College had more money.
像我所办的神学院
I'm sure they could be doing more.
能够可以发展。
If the church you attend
你所参加的教会
had the same thing,
也是有同样的困难。
They could be doing more.
他们可以做更多的事。
In feeding the poor, missionaries, and all the things they do.
帮助穷苦的人，差派更多的宣教士，但是需要。
And I found a verse one day
我有一天就读到一
些 that began to change the way I think about what I'm talking about now.
要完全改变我的一些的想法。
And I want to share it with you in this little hour that I have.
我愿意跟你们分享。
It says in verse 2,
第三章。
It says, 3 John 2,
就是
3rd John, 3rd epistle of John.
第三章，约翰三书。
Not St. John, 3rd John, little guy. 3rd John.
约翰三书。
It says in verse 2,
第二节。
Beloved, I wish above all things
亲爱的弟兄们啊,
that you prosper,
我愿你凡事,
be in health,
身体健壮,
even as your soul prospers.
正如你的灵魂兴盛一样。
Now, it's a little verse
是一个很短的一
节, with three great points in it.
有三个重点。
And these three points will probably make some of you nervous.
这三个重点让你甚至,
because we will deal with some of the traditions of the church in these three verses.
因为我们会违反一些教会的传统。
And hopefully I can make you happy and mad before I'm gone today.Because happy makes you feel good. And if I irritate you, then you're going to think about what I had to say. And so let's go through this verse together again. Beloved, I wish above all things.
亲爱的，我愿你们。
There's three things he mentions here.
在这里提到三方面。
Number one, that you prosper.
就是兴旺。
Number two, that you be in health.
能够健康,
and number three, that your soul prospers.
你的灵魂也能够兴盛。
Three things he says, I want you to have in your life.
希望你能够得到这三样的东西。
Three needful things that St. John, the inspired Spirit of the Holy Ghost,
圣灵在这里启示三样的重点。
Said, I want you these three things to have in your life.
我希望你们的生命得到这三样。
I want to start with the third one first.
第一样。
I'm going to start from the bottom of the verse and work up.
从最后。
In the English Bible, it says there, I want your soul to prosper. I don't know how it's worded in the Chinese Bible or the Bible that you're reading. It says their soul to prosper.
Well,
what is soul prosperity? First off, your soul deals with your intellect, your mind. So we could say it this way.I want your understanding to increase.
你的悟性能够兴盛。
Everything in Christianity is based on your understanding.
我们的信仰是建立在理性上面。
What you understand, you can cooperate with.
你能够领受明白，你就能够去做。
What you understand, you can believe for.
你明白才能够相信。
So let me give you an example.
譬如说,
there's a story about a man coming from Great Britain during the time of the big ocean liners.
就是有人从英国坐这个大船渡海,
it's kind of like the Titanic days.
所谓的这个 Titanic,
and thank God he wasn't on Titanic, but it was like a boat like that.
幸好不是坐那个沉的 Titanic,
and
he
bought a ticket.
买了一个船票,
and he was coming across the Atlantic to America.
他是坐这个道船到美国,
and he was about 2 days out from the New York harbors.
他能够准许能够,
and he was on deck talking to a friend that he had made while he was on the voyage.
在他的航行当中,
and the conversation turned to ask him this question.
这个谈话问到他,
have you enjoyed the food and the tea while you were here?
你在这个船上觉得这个船上的食物茶各方面怎么样?
And the man said, well, I've not had the privilege of being in the restaurant or in the dining part of the boat.
我没有这样的好像的权利享受进到这个的餐厅里面。
Because I didn't buy that kind of ticket.
我没有买到这个吃饭的这个餐票。
And the passenger said to him, your ticket includes 3 meals a day and 2 tea times.
但是那个人跟他说，其实你看看你的 船票上面是包括这些饭食的安排的。
So he had that ticket bought.
他买了这个船票。
And during dinner and lunchtime and breakfast, he would go to his room and eat what he had brought with him.
但是他却不知道他可以进餐厅去享受这些食物，却回到自己房间吃自己带来的食物。
And he didn't know that his ticket included the meals and the tea times.
他不知道他的船票已经付了这些食物跟喝茶的这些费用。
That's called most Christians.
也就是大部分的基督徒,
and most pastors.
大部分的传道人,
they've accepted Jesus.
他接受了耶稣,
they're on the Christian boat, in other words.
他们坐在这个基督的船上,
and they're in the room eating what they brought.
他们还是在自己的房间里面吃自己要预备的食物,
because they don't know what God gave them through their ticket called the Bible.
因为他们从来不知道这个船票圣经里面所有丰富的应许。
So, everything in that book belongs to you. Whether your denomination likes it or not, whether your cousin or family members like it or not, whether your friends like it or not, what's in that book is included in your ticket. So the number one job after being born again is find out what the book says belongs to you and go get it. And so one of our great needs in Christianity is the increase of our understanding. Hosea 4:6 says that people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. It didn't say prayer. It didn't say church attendance. It didn't say anointing. It didn't say singing or worshiping. Those are all great things, a part of a believer's life. But Hosea said, the reason why Christians and ministers are destroyed, not even because of the devil, but because of the lack of understanding, the lack of knowledge. So in all you're getting, Proverbs says, get understanding. If you don't get understanding, you'll believe wrong things. You'll preach wrong things out of a sincere heart, but they'll be wrong. So you have to get into the book and know what it says. So verse 2 says again, I want you to prosper. I want you to be in health, even as your soul prospers, or as the increase of your understanding comes, more of God's blessings can come into your life. Like healing belongs to everybody. Prosperity belongs to everybody in Christ Jesus. But because we don't understand, they speak against it or say they don't want it or it's not for them today. And they create doctrines to defend their ignorance.
甚至他们制造一些的教义来抵抗。
Now, in this verse, there's two things
在这个经节里面,
that the world needs more of.
生, 我们需要,
they need more healing and health.
需要医治健康。
Now, we are in a political election year here in America.
我们需要。
We're in election year. There's an election.
啊, 现在选举年。
And we have all these screaming going on in the media.
Oh, 为选举很多的声音。
And every election, they always talk about health.
选举都是讲到这个健康医疗保险。
The health care plan.
健康啊，保险的问题。
How's all the folks who can't get medical drugs going to get it?
让每个人都能够可以买药，可以有这个医疗保险。
And they fuss and they argue on TV for days and weeks.
他们花很多时间在那边辩论保险的事。
The next thing the election talks about.
啊。选举的时候都常说
is the economy
经济的问题
the finances of the nation
整个国家的经济
and so we sometimes as preachers think that these two things aren't relevant
我们发现这两样是有关联的
but they are relevant to everybody in every part of life
是关联我们生活的每一部分
and God has an answer and a help for everybody in these two areas
神给我们有一个健康的保险
now when you go out to start pastoring and preaching
当你去
They're not going to worry first about the people in China that are dying right now. They're going to worry about themselves and their family if they're healthy and have enough money to pay their bills. You say, well, that's kind of selfish. Welcome to society. They are first concerned about themselves. And if they don't get help there,They're never going to worry about over there or someplace else in the world. You can't be a blessing to somebody if you're sick. You can't be a blessing to somebody if you don't have enough money to take care of your own family and your own expenses. And the reason why churches and ministries, they well, are you a health and wealth preacher?
你是否是一个有健康而且有经济能力的
I've been asked that many times in my life.
我常常被人这样问。
Are you one of those health and wealth preachers?
你是否是一个有健康而且有
经济 Well, let me answer this.
生活好的人 Well.
You want to clarify?
老师说你是不是传那个信息的那个传道人而不是
Okay, sorry. No, go ahead. That's fine. I understand.
Yeah, 我们需要成为一个有健康而且丰富的一个传道人
是讲那个，他是说那个 health and prosperity 的这个讲
这个信
息的这个道的人，并不是说他的就是这样子好讲。
We got it.
Okay.
All right. Praise the Lord. Everybody smile now. It's not going to hurt you. Smile, folks. It's good news. It's not bad.
这是个好的消息。
Amen. Praise the Lord. We can come. We have a long ways to go today.
我们还有很多的要分享。
So let me answer the question this way.
我来回答这个问题。
If you're not a minister.That wants people to be healthy and people to have enough money to pay their bills and be a blessing, then what are you? If you don't want someone to be healed and be healthy, then you must be a sickness and disease preacher. If you don't want someone to have enough money to pay their bills and be a blessing to somebody, then you must be a debt and poverty preacher. And these are two things that Jesus wants to help everybody have in their life. You see, why aren't more people healthy? Why aren't there more miracles and more healings?Why isn't there more prosperity or more money in Christians' lives? Because their understanding is little about what God says about it. Remember, soul prosperity or the increase of your understanding determines what comes into your life. The man was crossing the ocean on the boat.
这个人坐这个道轮过海。
His ticket included those meals.
这个船票里面包括了这些。
Because he didn't read and understand what his ticket said.
但他没有看这个票里面所写的。
He was living below all the privileges of what he could have on that boat.
所以他生活在 没有享受他应有有的权利。
And the same is true in Christianity.
我们的基督教信仰也是。
There are many born again people all over the world that love Jesus with all their heart.
我们有很多重生得救的基督徒，他们爱神。
That are living below what they've got in Christ Jesus.
但他们生活在这些应许的外面。
And in seminaries and Bible colleges.
在神学院里面。
It's one of the hardest things to preach to preachers.
最难就是跟传道人神学生。
And I don't understand why.Is it so difficult to get a group of ministers who love the people of the world? To believe in God's will to heal the sick. And to believe in God's will to give people more than enough money to take care of their life and be a blessing to somebody else. Because they will resist you.They'll argue with you. And why are you arguing? So you can say broken sick? Why don't we get understanding so we can be healthy? And can do more for God being healthy? And prosper so we can have more money to bless more people. But I've had students and ministers all over the world get all mad.And say, we don't believe in that. Well, that's okay. Stay sick and broke. That's fine. You'll still go to heaven. You might get there a little early, but you'll go to heaven. I believe that God wants to heal every sick person. And he wants everybody to prosper and have more than enough money in their life to take care of themselves and be a blessing. Now, if I go out today in San Jose and find me a drunk person, or someone that's on drugs, and I walk up to them and say, do you want to prosper? The drunk guy will go, yes. And you walk up to the other person and say, do you want to be healthy and healed?
你跟另外人说你要不要得到健康得到医治
They'll go yeah for sure
他们也会说要
But you go up to a sober Christian
你去一个健去一个严肃的基督徒的面前跟他说
And they'll argue with you to stay sick and broke
他们会跟你争辩说他们不一定要不一定得到
Well, I don't believe that God wants me to prosper I don't believe in prosperity
我不相信这个兴旺的福音
I don't believe in healing
我不相信医治
Well, my answer to that is then this
我真的觉得很奇怪
Then stay the way you are. But if you want to know what God says about these two things, it's all through the Bible. And it's for whosoever wants it can have it. And if people don't want to prosper, well then stay the way you are. If you don't want to believe in divine healing and help, then that's fine too. It has nothing to do with your salvation.But it's part of the privilege of being in Christianity to have these blessings that belong to you. When I was growing up in the church, I was taught that being broke was somehow holy. And that having money was evil.And that was a big doctrine or belief system among our churches. And sometimes when you're a preacher and you're going to talk about money, everybody gets nervous. Well, I'm over all of that. It don't matter to me no more if you get nervous or not. Because what you feel, how you feel, has nothing to do with what the Word says.
你的感觉不改变圣经的应许。
Let's go to Psalms 35.
我们看诗篇。
Are you all doing well today?
35篇，你们怎么样？
Can you say amen or oh me or something? Okay. I forget you guys get real quiet.
Yeah, maybe a little bit tired.
I know it's also hot in here, so it kind of gets
that way. The conditioner. We turn on the conditioner.
Okay, for everybody. I mean, I can preach through the heat, but I just don't know if it makes them all sleepy. But I found a verse.That began to change my mindset on prosperity. Because I thought that, you know, God really didn't want you to have money.
好像我过去的想法觉得神不要我们有钱。
And I found verse 27.
在这个三十五章。
And it's Psalms 35:27.
27节。
It says, "Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Let them say continually, 'The Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of His servant.'"
愿他们常说当尊耶和华为大，耶和华喜悦他的仆人平安。那么这个平安在原文圣经是 prosperity 丰富。
Now I don't know what it says again in the translation. It may be a little different.
The Bible is translated as peace only.
It's peace. Well, in the King James Bible.
在这个 King James Bible.
It says prosperity.
是 prosperity 是丰富兴旺。
And this verse here.
这个经节
says God gets pleasure.
神喜悦
when people prosper.
人丰富。
In other words, God does not get mad.
神不会很生气。
When you have money and your church has money.
当你发财了，有钱了，教会有钱，神不会生气。
So in other words, God is pro-prosperity, not anti-prosperity.
神是赞成我们丰富，而不是反对我们丰富。
He says he has pleasure when people prosper.
因为耶和华喜悦他的仆人丰盛。
God's not trying to take away from you what you have.
神不要把你的财富夺去。
He's trying to add to you what you have.
他要加添你财富。
Now, the Bible also talks many times about other aspects of prosperity.
圣经也提到很多方面的丰富。
And let's go to Psalms 112 for a moment.
诗篇112篇。
We want to touch these things because in 22 years of ministry,
因为在我过去22年的侍奉当中,
one of the greatest needs that ministers need
最大传道人的需要,
is what God says about prosperity and divine healing.
就是让传道人能够富足而且健康。
Because most preachers are broken sick.
因为大部分的传道人都是很贫穷,
and they
而且身体软弱,
act like it's God's blessing on their life.
他们还觉得这个是神的祝福。
Well, being broken sick is not fun.
贫穷跟病弱不是好玩。
Being broken sick is not good news.
贫穷跟病弱不是好消息。
And being broken sick is not God's life for you.
贫穷跟生病不是神要给你的。
John 10:10 says it this way.
约翰福音第十章第十节。
Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life."
我要给你们得生命。
And have it more abundantly.
而且得的更丰盛。
A part of abundant life.
丰盛的生命。
Is your salvation with God.
乃是救恩。
But also what He does for you in the natural side of your life as well.
神也要在你天然的生命当中做工祝福你。
God blesses you spiritually and physically and relationally and economically.
神要祝福你的灵，祝福你的身体，祝福你的社交，祝福你的社会生活。
In Luke chapter 4, there's a verse that says this.
在路加福音第四章。
He's talking about how God anointed Jesus.
讲到圣灵如何恩膏耶稣。
He says, "I'm anointed to preach the gospel to the poor."
神的圣灵膏我要传福音给贫穷人。
What is gospel to the poor person?
对一个穷人来说，什么是福音？
You don't have to be poor no more.
你就不需要再贫穷，也就是
when somebody is broke,
当一个人贫穷，
good news for them is God's going to help you out of it.
什么是贫穷人的好消息？就是他能够脱离贫穷。
Now, when we start dealing with prosperity in our life,
当我们去面对我们生命的这个丰盛的问题，
religious mindsets always want to make it just a spiritual application.
也在宗教人士常常把这个丰盛讲的是灵性的丰盛。
And there are verses that apply both to spiritual and natural.
但是我们看到很多的经文，神要在灵性跟实际的生活、身体要祝福我们。
There are verses also that just apply to the spiritual side.
有些的经文是讲到灵性的祝福
，and just to the material side。
但也有些经文讲到物质方面的祝福。
It goes for both。
两方面都有。
In Psalms 112，
在诗篇112篇
，verse 1, 2, and 3。
在一到三节。
I'll read it first, and then I'll have my friend read it here. It says, "Praise ye the Lord, and blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that lieth greatly in His commandments. His seed or his children shall be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed." Verse 3 says this. Well.And riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness shall endure forever.
特别我们注意第三点，他家中有货物，有钱财，他的公义存到永远。
Now, what does these verses say?
这三节提到什么？
It said that if you live right and walk before God and fear Him,
你能够喜爱神的命令，
that your children will grow up and be great,
你的儿女后代有蒙福。
and that there'll be wealth and riches in your house.
而且在你家中有货物有钱财。
Now, most of you here are living righteously according to Scripture. And the majority of people that you go to church with tomorrow are too. Where's the wealth and riches at then? If they're fearing God, and they're doing what the Bible says, then verse 3 should be coming to pass in their life. Where's the money at? Where's the blessing to that kind of blessing at? Oh, I don't know. I'll tell you why they don't have it. Because no one has taught them it belongs to them. No one's read in the scriptures to them and taught them like I am today, just briefly here. That a part of being a Christian is being reconnected to God and God restoring your life back to abundant living of all kinds. Now the next thing that will come up I want to address, people say, well, you know, I don't think God wants us to be wealthy. Or use the word rich. Now if you say these words in church, wealthy, rich, people react to those words. Just like if you would use curse words. If you would use a bad word behind the pulpit. They'll go, oh, how dare you do that. Get up and say the word rich. And the word wealth.
富足,
prosperity.
丰盛,
belongs to you.
德产业,
as a believer.
作为一个信徒,
as a minister.
作为一个传道人,
and there'll go all types of conflict in the room when you say that. And the first thing you'll start saying is, well, the love of money is the root of all evil.
哇, 贪财是万恶之根啊,
is that not true? Is that what you're thinking while I'm preaching today? I can read your faces. It's a little difficult for some, but for most of you I can read. And you're like, you're checking me out for many reasons. You're checking out because of the magazine articles on the internet. And you're trying to see if I'm okay or not. And that's alright, just keep looking all day long, that's fine, I don't care. And the next thing is because I'm talking on subjects that maybe that make you nervous from your Christian background. Well, I believe it's worth pioneering through all this to sow the seed into your life so you can have what belongs to you in your future. Good evening and good morning, everybody. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, the Bible says this in 1 Timothy. And I'll just give you this 1 Timothy 6:8-6:10. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10.
第六章第十节,
and I'll just quote it to you. You can look it up or just write it down and look at it later.
第六章第十节,
it says that the love of money is the root of all evil, is what's written there. And every time you talk on prosperity,
每次你讲到钱财,
or tithing or giving,
要十一奉献,
people go, oh, there's something wrong with this. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. It did not say having money was. It didn't say using money was. It said being romantically involved with money was the problem. When you're in love with money, when money is your whole heart's desire, when money is your God, your security, when money is everything to you, that's the root of all evil. It says it's the love of money, the love of it, that is the root of all evil. Not having it, not using it, and not making it. It didn't say that. But in Christian tradition, to talk about money, to preach on money, to encourage the understanding of prosperity among the believers is criticized sometimes as you're leading people astray because you're making them love money. If that conduct was right, then none of you should have a job. Because that's what you're doing when you go out to work, is to get that evil stuff called money. Now the next thing that happens too is people think that money has an evil spirit to it. That money has, when you get over a certain amount of money, that a big old demon comes on that pile of money. So you have just have enough money to make it by barely. And if you have any money above that amount, then there's something evil that happens. Now you all look real quiet, but I hope you know that's the truth. Do you have some money? Do you have some money on you? Can I just give me some? I'll give it back to you. Just give me some. I won't take his money from him today. Just whatever, $1, $20, whatever. I'll give it back to you. All right. Here's money. He actually has it in a theology school. It's kind of amazing. Now, many times people think that money in itself has a spirit on it. That money has some type of connection into the spirit world. And they think there is good money and there is bad money. Now, I don't know how we got this philosophy going in Christianity, but let's just break it down and tear it up for a moment. Like people say, if a liquor company gave you $100,000, or a prostitutor walks in and gives your Bible college here $50,000. Would you take it? Would you take the money? Or would you go, no, I can't take the money. Because that's wicked and bad money. And so we won't take the money. We want to be holy before the Lord. Now, that's a philosophy that money in itself has a spirit to it. It's like when I was growing up in the church as a teenager. I was told that certain musical instruments had demons. I was told that. And that's why there could only be the organ and the piano. They were the most holy ones. And the drums had to be played very softly. And no liquor guitars because of the rock and roll people using them. And if you played the drums too loud, you would draw evil spirits. Because that's what they do in Africa. And that's called stupid. But that's what they believed. So I grew up thinking you could only have like three instruments. And I don't like the organ. So I love the piano. Now, the organ is a personal opinion, it's not a doctrine. But that organ always sounded like everybody was going to die when they started playing it. And I like things a little bit more contemporary. And I realized one day that instruments do not have a spirit. Just like money doesn't either. Instruments like money do the same thing. Money and an instrument takes on the spirit of the person that holds it or plays it. It does not have a spirit of itself. When that $100,000 from the liquor people come to our brother, it may have been with bad people over here, the money. But when that money passed from the liquor people into the man of God, it takes on his spirit. It doesn't have an evil spirit attached that goes over and makes him evil.
不是钱财的灵，邪灵会传进来。
So let's say it this way.
要我们来了解。
Money amplifies, is an amplifier.
钱财是一个扩音器。
If you have money,
家里有钱,
ever how much you have,
你有多少钱,
it gives you that much power to be more of what you are.
你能够彰显更大更多。
So if you're evil,
假如你是邪恶的,
then your $1 million is going to do evil.
你千万的钱财都会扩大更多的邪恶。
If you're good,
假如你是好,
that $1 million is going to do good.
这千万的钱财会扩大更
Because
更多的好,
money amplifies what you are and what you can do.
要钱财把你的事能够扩张出去
Just like playing the piano
就好像你弹钢琴
Or the guitar
或者吉他
Or the drums
或者这个鼓
Takes on the spirit of the one that plays it
来自传递你这个人的灵出去
If that person is open to evil then evil will come through
假如这个人是对邪灵敞开你这个人会得到邪灵
If
不是透过灵
that person is open to good it'll come through them
这个人是美善的他就会透过这些东西来表达
Money does not have a spirit
钱财没有本身的
It takes on the spirit of one that holds it
来自在乎这个拥有钱财这个
So I'll take all the money from the drug dealers
我会接受这些贩毒人的钱
From all the drunkards
这些醉酒的人
From anybody that wants to give me money
任何人要给我钱
I'll take it.
我会接受,
and I'll go use it
我会用这些钱,
to train people like you
去训练,
and ship you overseas at my expense.
然后把他们拆派成为传教士,
and that's what I've done in my life.
我的过去常常这样,
I've sent over 250 missionaries. 250 missionaries.
啊, 也传了250的传教士,
at my expense of my church and my life.
是透过我们教会的支持跟经费,
for 1 year.
一年,
overseas to do the work of the gospel all the person had to do is be willing to go with wife, kids and dog I'll send them all that's what prosperity can do for you and that's what prosperity God wants to do for you people go I want to go to China I want to go to Africa I want to go to Russia and they say it all the time all over the world but I have no money and that's probably true they want to go but they can't go they want to go but they can't go they want to go really bad they love the people that they were called to they buy books about them they decorate their homes and the cultural designs of the nation they're called to go to but then they never go because they don't have any money prosperity believing gives you the ability to work with God to increase your finances to be able to do and help others to do and it's for whoever wants to believe the book are you all here today
amen.
say amen praise the Lord amen. shake the person next to you make sure they're awake let's make sure they're up and functioning now we quit at 1 o'clock okay I just want to make sure because I can preach on this all day long I can preach on prosperity all day long did you understand that And it's good that you'd hear it for a couple of days.
Tell them. We can end the meeting around 2. So you
oh, you want me to go another hour? Okay, that's fine.
yes, but reserve some time for prayer.
I'll do that.
Okay. Around 1:30, you can stop. Or 1:30, you can stop there. We have some
no
time
problem.
For prayer.
Good. Yeah. Everybody still with me?
Amen.
Good. Good. We're getting some response now.
Praise
the Lord. All right. So you're walking with me. This verse says he wants you to prosper and be in health.
所以这个经节告诉我们要能够丰盛健康
Those two things
这两件的事情
Are there rich people in the Bible?
圣经里面有没有讲到富有的人呢
Besides the rich young ruler that didn't make it
除了那个少年有钱的官他不能得救
Because when I ask that question I always think of the rich young ruler
很多人都是用这个有钱少年的官来做不好的例子
In Genesis We have a story about Father Abraham. And Father Abraham was not poor. And he's the father of our faith, is that not true? He's called Father Abraham. And we're to be a part of his kids. He's an example of faith and how to live the godly life. And guess what? The Bible says he was loaded. It says in Genesis 13, verse 2,
在13章第二节,
that Abram was very rich in cattle, silver, and gold.
亚伯兰的金银生出极多,
now, it's not just rich.
不但是富足,
the English Bible has an adjective there.
英文圣经有个形容词,
it says very rich. So that's more than just rich. Then it says what he was rich in. He was rich in cattle, silver, and gold. That's the way wealth was accumulated in the days that Abraham lived on the earth. Isn't that a good story to know about Abraham? That Abraham was not broke. Abraham had a lot of wealth. And he was classified as the father of faith. Now we also can talk about this for a moment. And then we're going to come back to Job in just a minute. People say, well, Jesus was born in a stable. Isn't that a sign that we're supposed to, you know, not have much money? Well, if you go to Luke chapter 2, you'll find out in that chapter, chapter 2 and verse 7, well, I'll just go ahead and read it to you. I keep forgetting that you're a Bible school, so we've got to look at everything, which is good. Let me find it here real fast. Luke chapter 2. And verse 7 talks about the birth of Jesus. And it says, and she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in a swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn.
就生了头胎的儿子用布包起来放在马槽里，因为客店里没有地方。
Now, what did it say in that verse? It said that he was born in a stable and laid in a manger.
他是生在这个马槽,
but we don't hear the rest of the verse.
没有提到别的事情。
In Christian tradition of poverty talk,
在我们这个信仰传统上,
we say, oh, the Lord was born in a stable.
我们的主是生在贫穷的马槽,
and he was laid in a manger.
是被放在马槽里,
he was out there with the animals.
他是跟动物在一起,
God took care of him in that poor condition to provide a stable for him. And the whole implication that's coming across while people are talking about it is that they were all broken poor. And that the only thing they could have or could find was an inn because they had no money for nothing else. But the verse says there why they were in the stable. Because there was no room at the Sheraton Hotel. That's what the word inn means. Because there was no room at the inn, at the hotel, at the motel. If you're going to walk in prosperity, you're going to have to change your thinking and let the word cast out all those negative poverty things that has been given to you as Christian accepted tradition that is not biblically correct. Like, well, Jesus walked around the earth with no money. Well, then why did Judas have the authority of the treasury? If the Lord had no money, you don't need an accountant. He had to have some money to have a need to appoint somebody over the money. So the idea that Jesus was a nomadic spiritual beggar is not true. And how could Jesus say to the disciples, go buy meat and food for all these people?
叫门徒去买食物给那么多5000人,
if they didn't have money enough to buy it for a couple thousand people.
假如他们没有可以买1000多人食物的钱,
in Luke chapter 8, the first three verses, you can just write this down.
路加福音第八章
Jesus had folks that partnered with him financially.
有人资助耶稣的传道。
And they gave of their substance, the Bible says.
他们奉献给耶稣。
And they supported Jesus and the team.
来支持耶稣的传道。
So Jesus had partners or supporters too.
耶稣有支持者。
Isn't that good to know?
我们知道这样的。
That people gave money to Jesus.
人把钱给耶稣。
Another thought is this. Why would they be casting lots over the Lord's clothes at Calvary?
那为什么这个兵丁要为耶稣的礼衣摇签?
If he was just had beggar clothes on.
假如只是一个贫穷的内衣。
There had to be something special about the clothes he wore.
连耶稣穿的衣服其实也是值钱的。
Remember,
要支签摇签。
They didn't value him as the son of God, that he was some criminal they were killing.
他们不会把他当作是神的儿子，他们只把他当作一个犯人。
Why was the soldiers casting lots over who got the clothes?
为什么连他们连耶稣的衣服都要在那边摇签？
He must have had nice clothes for that to be an action.
乃是表示耶稣的那个礼衣是值钱的。
Now the reason why I'm walking through this with you is this.
为什么我要提到这些小事情？
Because we think so much the opposite.
很多时候我们都想到耶稣是很穷。
And we don't think through and read the scriptures through on these issues especially.
假如我们没有好好去重新看这些经文。
And you grow up in Christianity.
你在基督教的信仰长大。
Accepting your economic failure as okay.
你会接受好像贫穷破产是应该的。
When God wants to increase, you to have more than enough in your life.
但是神却要把更多的丰富加给你。
Good morning, everybody.
大家醒过来没有？
Say praise the Lord or oh me. All right. Now, let's go to Job, the 42nd chapter.
让我们看一看约伯记42章。
Are you enjoying this?
你们能够享受这些的
阳光吗？ I can tell some of you are and some of you are still processing.
可能你们还在疑惑当中。
Well, after I'm gone, make sure you all get together and beat these words up really good so you can have a good discussion.
但愿我离开之后，你们再好好的去在思想去讨论。
When you're preaching on God's will to heal and to prosper, everybody goes, well, what about Job?
很多时候我们在传这个丰富跟健康，有的时候提出约伯。
And when you preach on God's will to heal people,
当你讲到神要医治人
They'll go, well, Job had boils.
这个约伯记
And you talk about prosperity.
讲到这个丰盛
And they say, Job had everything taken away from me.
你看神都把一切拿走了从约伯
I had this happen to me one time when I was preaching along these lines.
当我有一次在教导间的事情
And a lady came up to me after the service.
有一个姐妹在聚会之后跟我说
And I could tell by the way she was walking, she was not a happy person with me.
她是一个蛮快乐的人。
That she was kind of, she didn't like me too well.
但是她不太喜欢我。
Which is a part of public life, by the way.
那就是好像。
If you're going to be a great minister,
你要做一个很。
That's why you have two cheeks. One side will be kissed and one side will be bit, but they'll both be red.
所以一边会被人亲嘴，但另外一边呢被人打，两边都会红。
And so you just got to get used to people loving you and not liking you, and it all changes.
有的人会恨你。
One day they love you, the next day they can't stand you. And next week they're in love with you again, so don't worry about it. Just obey the word and just keep right on going and you'll win by just doing what's right faithfully. And she came up to me after a sermon like I'm preaching today.
And
she goes, I heard a lot of heresy today. And the Bible says didn't say I couldn't have fun with a mean person.The Bible said I could have fun.
圣经里面提到说,
so I thought, I'm going to have fun with this woman.
我就跟这个姐妹,
She's coming to argue, I'm going to have fun.
我就觉得很有趣。
And I go, well, who taught the heresy?
谁讲这异端邪说啊?
And she goes, you did.
她说你讲异端邪
说。 I said, me?
我?
I said, I'm not teaching heresy.
我不是讲异端。
She goes, I don't believe in any of this.
我根本不相信你讲异端
邪说。 I don't believe in this faith healing.
我不相信这些信心。
And I don't believe in this prosperity thing.
我不相信这些金钱。
And I said, and it shows.
但是圣经这样说。
Because you can tell what a person believes.
你很难让一个人相信。
By the way, they look, act, and talk.
看他这个讲话的样子，你就知道。
And you can tell she didn't believe in healing.
他不相信医治。
because she was coughing the whole time she was talking to me. And it was something else going on. And she didn't have very nice clothes on either, to be honest. I'm not trying to be mean to her, but that's what she was. And here she comes walking down the aisle. And I said, well, what heresy did you hear today? She goes, well, let me ask it this way. I go, well, go ahead. She goes, well, what about Job? I said, what about him? I said, since you're his cousin, you tell me. Since you seem to be the friend of Job or the relative of Job here, and the way you talk about Job, you must really be a part of his family tree. I said, you and Job must be distant cousins. And she kind of like, well, what? I said, just tell me, what about him? She goes, Job lost everything. I said, I heard that. She says, he got sick. He had boils everywhere. I said, I heard that. That's true. I heard that. And a tornado blew up his house and killed his kids.
I said,
I heard that too. And I said, I agree. That's true. And he was left all by himself. With some friends. I said, I heard that too. And she stopped. And I stood there. And I go, and? And she repeated the same thing again. And I agreed with her on all those points again because they were true. And I went, and? She goes, that's all. I said, no, it's not. I said, that's only part of Job's life. And it's not most of his life at that. It's only a short part of his life. I said, open your Bible. She goes, why? I said, I want you to read the financial statement of Job by the day he died. Do you know that the Bible has people's financial statement on them as the way it was the day they died? When you die, they're going to write down all that's left, your family, your wealth, and everything about you. It's called your last financial statement and discussion of you on this earth. She goes, I don't think it's in the Bible. I said, honestly, you don't read your Bible very much. She goes, I do too. I said, well, I guess you haven't got this part yet. And I said, open it, so I want you to see it in your Bible. Because sometimes people think you've got a different Bible than they have. And they just can't handle it. Verse 12 of Job 42 starts the financial statement of Job. And so, what about Job? Well, how did he end? Here's his story. Here's the story of Job. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. Now that's a nice statement, isn't it? If that's all we had, then we would know that God made his end better than his beginning. But then the Bible goes further and starts listing stuff. It says in the King James,
King James Bible,
for he had. The word had meant he owned or he possessed. He didn't rent, he owned. He didn't borrow, he owned. For he had 14,000 sheep. He had 6,000 camels.
6,000骆驼,
1,000 yoke of oxen.
1,000对牛,
1,000 donkeys.
1,000母驴,
that was just the material side that starts. That's the way they accumulated wealth in those days. If we were to make some type of example of today's vocabulary of wealth, it would be something like this. He had 14,000 shares in some great company. He owned apartment buildings and rented them out all over town. He had great wealth accumulated like that. That's how it would be kind of transferred into our day of wealth accumulation. But it's right here. But then it keeps going. Verse 13. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. 10 more kids. 10 more screaming children he had. What about Job? He had some kids, 10 of them. Verse 15. I like how this verse is written. And in all the land there were no women found as fair as the daughters of Job. What does that mean? That means they were good looking women. They were the Miss Americas of that country. That's what it says. It says there was no other women in that all that country that were fair or as good looking as these girls. Now what does good looking mean? When somebody is good looking, you want them to walk real slow where you can get a good look at them. If they're ugly, move quickly. That's the difference. Amen.
Amen.
Don't look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. It's a part of life. Alright, then it goes on. And their father Job gave the girls inheritance among the brothers. That's a great accomplishment. Because in these days, women were property, not entities. They weren't individuals. Women in these days were just property. They weren't like a son or a male child. And for Job to give his girls equal inheritance among the brothers without some type of family problem was an event. So that's a great accomplishment. That there was enough of his wealth that he can divide it among 10 of them. And of the 10, the girls got their portion too. And it says he lived another 140 years and saw four generations of his family. So what about Job? There you read it today. Job is the man that God restored everything back to better than it was the first time around. And he'll do that for you and all of your church members. God wants to heal and prosper all of his children. And why isn't it occurring like it should? Because understanding has to increase. So the more you preach on something, and the more you teach on something, it increases understanding and faith to receive that help from God for that in that life. Like I'm doing today. I'm walking on water with you, hoping you enjoy it, but if you don't, you've still got me for another 15 minutes. And I know the word will never come back void, so maybe you'll get it next week or next month or next year, but you'll still get it. And you may not want to get it until you need money for a missions trip.
Or
to buy you a house for you and your family. Or when there comes those creditors trying to take your car away from you because you can't pay the bill. And then you remember the crazy Laird that came up to talk to you about prosperity in a hot room on Saturday morning. It's amazing how crisis will make a believer out of you. But what would be good is if you believe and have understanding before crisis so you can prevent it by faith. Smith Wigglesworth said this. Smith Wigglesworth said, he said, if you wait to believe in healing when you need healing, it's almost too late.
在那边等候要得的医治，那已经太迟了。
Did you understand that one?
你明白这句话吗？
If you're dying of cancer,
你在有癌症，
and you hear the report from the doctor,
你听到这个医生说，
now you want to believe in healing.
你要相信神医。
Well, that's good.
相信医治。
But it would have been better.
但是更好呢？
If you had understanding and faith built about healing a long time before, so if you have to deal with it, you got faith to come right at it.
乃是在你生病之前，你早就已经接受神的话语，健康的应许，得的健康，而不需要生病，岂不更好吗？
That's why healing should be preached in the church every year as a constant seminar or a series in the church.
所以需要在教会里面每年做教导。神应许的健康，好让我们得着健康。
There's preventive medicine.
我们有这个预防的药。
And there's preventive preaching.
同样有预防性的讲道。
If you preach on something,
假如你传讲一些东西，
it'll help prevent it from occurring among your people.
你就能够帮助会众预防一些事情的临到。
If you preach on healing, then the health will stay stronger.
你能够常常传讲医治。
If you preach on God's honoring of your tithing and your giving and prosperity, it'll keep debts and poverty out of people's lives. Amen.
Amen.
I have two more things I want to give you before I close. I want to go to the Gospel of St. Mark. Chapter 10. And again, I'm pushing a lot into this hour and a half with you today. I taught on prosperity in my church for 6 months. Every Sunday morning, I taught it for 6 months. There's a lot to say about what God has to say about money. And here was the result of that for 6 months. People begin to come out of debt.
人脱离他的欠债。
People begin to have increases in their jobs.
他们的工作更好。
They begin to buy homes and quit renting.
买房子。
Things begin to get better for people.
屋子变得越来越。
Because when you know God's back here helping you financially,
神祝福我们的经济。
You're not scared to go out and conquer something.
你不是要去好像挣一些东西来，神要祝福我们。
And when it starts taking root in your faith, and all of a sudden you come into the realm of believing. And receiving. Now I love this verse. But I'm not sure you're ready for this verse. But I'm going to give it to you anyway. Because I know you think, I love the Bible. I believe the Bible. How many believe the Bible? Oh, you wouldn't be in seminary if you didn't believe the Bible. But I'm not sure you're ready to believe this yet. You might have just turned the page on this and kept reading. It starts in verse 28 of Mark chapter 10. Peter began to say unto him, or to Jesus, Lo, we have left all and followed you. Okay, let's get the setting correct here. Jesus and the disciples are walking down the road. And Peter is the mouthpiece of the 12. He will say what others are thinking. And I'm sure there's a couple of you in here that are the same way. It's just a part of a group dynamic. That somebody will say what everybody else is scared to say or don't want to say because they're going to look bad for saying it.
All right.
And here's what Peter says. He goes, Now Lord, we've left everything and followed you all over Galilee and Israel, and we're wore out. I had a good fishing company before I began to become a follower of yours. And the other guys had occupations and careers too. Just like you do. Just like you in this room had careers and things that you're doing. And some of you have altered your career. Some of you have given up your past career to come into a ministerial career. And one day you may think like this. A circumstance may arise where you're going to talk just like Peter. And Peter wasn't saying this in a way where he was trying to earn brownie points or credits. He was saying out of frustration of knowing the present and knowing the future. He goes, we've given up everything and we have nothing, and we've been following you around all over the nation. Just like you say. I could have been to a law degree instead of a seminary degree. I could have been a doctor instead of wanting to be a preacher. You could have chosen different careers. You've chosen ministry. You've chosen to follow the Lord in this way. And you're going to end up one day going, oh, I've given up everything to follow this call. And here's what Jesus said to him and saying to you. Verse 29, Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there has been no man or woman, no person, that have left their house, their brother, their sisters, their father, mother, wife, and children, and lands, for my sake and the gospel's, he said. Now, how many's done some of that already in their life? We've all done something, haven't we, to be here today? We've given up something. Can I be in that list?
Alright,
verse 30. The word but is a conjunction. It connects the thought before and the thought after because they go together. And Jesus said this. But that person shall receive a hundredfold now in this time. Then he listed. Houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, and children, and lands. Now notice in verse 29. It was a house. Verse 30. There's at least two houses. There's an S there. So it could at least be two. It might be three. I don't know. It might be five. Who knows? Whatever property is that you need in your life. So if you, for the gospel's sake, give something up, if you understand the laws of giving and receiving, it comes back to you, Jesus said. Now in this time. Not when we get to heaven. And we Christians are great on the afterlife stuff. When we all get to heaven. What a day that'll be. There'll be no more crying. There'll be no more sickness. And I have a big old mansion in heaven. But Jesus didn't say when you get to heaven. Look at it. It says, but he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time. Now in this time. Not when you're dead and old. While you're alive and living. You'll receive houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, and lands. Now notice as the verse continues, there's another little phrase I want to look at for a moment. With persecutions. Do you know you can't prosper without reaction? Which Jesus calls persecution. Which means it's negative reaction. He says you shall receive all this now and this time with persecutions. And in the world to come eternal life. So you can't say he's just talking about your life when you get to heaven. Because he talks about both here. He talks about the first part of this verse is this present world. And the latter part of this verse, he says, and in the world to come, eternal life. So he says, you'll have eternal life. You'll have your eternal home. But I'm talking to you about the here and the now in California. That's good news for you. That's good news for every missionary. I taught my church that we should get happy if our missionaries have at least two homes. Don't stop giving to them because they have two homes. Be happy the word's working for them. And keep blessing them. They can have a home here in America and a home over there where they live. They can own it and live in it. Or they can have two homes in America and rent them out and make money for their trip. And when I preached that, it took us about 3 weeks to adjust to that comment. They're like, what? Missionary having two homes? We think missionaries don't have anything but what we give them. That's called stinking thinking. That's called religious poverty mindset that needs to be killed. Because Jesus didn't preach it. Just stupid people who didn't read the Bible and keep repeating church rhetoric tradition that has no scriptural basis at all, except for in the way you think it should be, and what you think and what God thinks don't always match. Did you see that? It's amazing. No one smiles on these verses here today. You just come, I don't know if I want to have two houses or not.
Well,
if you don't, then live in a teepee. I don't care. Live outside in the outdoors. I don't care. I'm just trying to increase your understanding. It works for me. Even through all my trauma, it just keeps right on working. Because I believe it's for me. And God knows it's for me. And my believing keeps the door open and it keeps coming down on me. But notice a little word there with persecutions. Oh, that's the poor one that people don't like. They like the house and the house. With something, with, not glory. Not new anointing.
不是这个新的恩膏,
persecutions.
但是这里提到,
you get houses and brothers and lands with persecutions.
要注意, 得的节身物质丰富, 同时要,
and that's why preachers
所以为什么传道人,
don't want to teach on money.
不要,
and they don't want to teach on tithing
不喜欢讲十一奉献,
and giving.
不喜欢讲奉献,
and then take up offerings.
也不喜欢讲要奉献,
and be happy about it. Because then people get real upset. And that's why it says with persecutions. If you're going to preach prosperity the way Jesus preached it and wants you to have it, you're going to get up in front of a seminary like this today, or a convention somewhere, or a Bible study, or your church, and step out and say, we're going to talk about money today. And we're going to talk about it for the whole hour. And never apologize. Never pull back in fear or intimidation. And teach what the Word says and let the Word work. And then you have to go through this afterwards. He's just after the money.
人就会说, 哎, 他只是要钱啊,
he's preaching on prosperity because he just wants the money. Pastor so-and-so has gone into error because he's preaching that we can have money. Oh, I'd be careful. We better have some prayer meetings to pray for our brother. And it just starts rolling. And it gets worse. Because all tradition has a bite in it. All tradition has an evil thing that bites you when you get yielding to it. And when you hit up against prosperity, and you preach, like all other days, read verses and make comments. Verses we don't ever think about too often. But it says with persecutions.
但要注意,
and here's how I present that to you. Is being broke and never having enough worth going through some opposition? Are you loving your church family enough to step out and preach on tithing, giving, and money? To go through the persecutions to do that, to get them to have that in their life. Do you love your church family that much? Because whatever you won't preach is where your love stops.
Love stops.
That's where you say, I can't go any further. See, I know some of your futures. And one of your greatest needs you're going to have is the area of prospering in the midst of ministry. Our ministry brings in $7 million a year. We've shipped 250 people around the world at our expense. Paid for everything for them. All they have to do is get up and go preach. We have the food there for them. We have the big old house where they all stay. We have even maids that will take care of all their clothes for them. All they have to do is get up and go preach. Get up and go do the gospel. Get up and go cast out devils. Get up and go pray for the sick. Get up and go get somebody saved. Go disciples, the new believers. Go help the pastors out there. Go build some more churches. Go irritate some more demons. Just get up and go do it. Because the number one problem for people doing the gospel is money. Because they don't have enough of it to go do it. Most missionaries spend most of their time raising money by begging, help me, help me, help me, and show naked baby pictures and make people feel emotionally sad instead of inspired by faith to give to conquer that in Jesus' name. And if people understand the law of prosperity, people just give. It's a lifestyle. When I begin Operation 500, and I've got to close, it's a missions program. When the Lord told me, ship the people. He said, I'm going to give you all the money you need. And I'm
going
to cause people to give it to you in large amounts. And he did. When I began to ship people with the money that God blessed me with, I didn't go out and buy 5,000 houses. I'm on a paycheck. My church gives me a paycheck. I'm on payroll. That money I gave to the work of the Lord. But God began to bless me just because I was a steward. And increased me and increased me and increased me. And brought me before famous people. Gave me all kinds of natural things. But I still have an enjoy. So, well, you shouldn't have them. See, that's the persecution I get to endure for having them. Because I don't think you should have it. I don't like it. Well, you don't have any say about it. Because God gave it. And when you prosper, and these things come into your life, it comes with persecution. And you have to love the people and ignore their words and keep right on going. And it will be good. All right, let me give you one last verse. I'm going to close. Philippians chapter 4. Are you enjoying this today? I want to encourage you to learn more about prosperity. I want you to learn more about the blessings of being a tither and a giver. Philippians 4. Sorry about that. I love this passage in verse 15. Philippians 4:15. Paul is writing to the Philippian church here, and he says, "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only." Out of all the churches that Paul started and was a spiritual father of, only one understood prosperity and giving and receiving. He said in verse 16, "For in Thessalonica you sent to me once and again to my necessity," or to help me out. Notice verse 17. "Not because I desired the gift or I desired the money." Notice what Paul says. "But I desire that fruit may abound to your account." What is Paul saying? He's saying in the beginning of the gospel, only one church understood the laws of giving and receiving. And it was you, the Philippians, that understood that. And you gave to me several times in the beginning. Other churches didn't. But you did. And he said in verse 17, "Not that because I wanted the money." Yes, the money helped me out. Yes, the financial gift helped me do what I was called to do. But there's something greater that happens to the one that gives. He said, "I desire that fruit may abound to your account." In other words, he wanted that hundredfold and that economic blessing of giving to come back as a harvest into their life. He said, "By you giving to me, it'll come back into your life." I have one there. Thank you. "As a multiplied harvest." Offering time and giving your tithes is not where God takes money from you. It's where God gives harvest to you. You have to let go of to receive a multiplied harvest of. And Paul said, "Yes, I appreciate your gift. But what I really want is your church and your people to prosper. That fruit may abound to your account." It's called the laws of prosperity. Whatsoever a man sows, he shall also reap. Luke 6:38, Jesus said, "Give and it shall be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give back into your life." Not angels, not when you get to heaven, when men will give back into your bosom or back into your life. He goes, "With how you meet or how you give is how you'll receive." It's you determine your harvest by how you sow. And I'm going to close because that's another whole sermon in itself. But today I just wanted to take this first time with you. And I wanted to walk out here amongst you for a little while. And touch a subject that is needful among everybody in Christianity. God wants you to be in health. He wants you to prosper. Even as your soul prospers, as your understanding increases. Like today, I think your mind and your heart may have discovered some new understanding on the area of Christians and biblical economics. Because I want you to have more than enough to do everything God wants you to do and be a blessing to somebody around you. That's what prosperity is all about. Not look what I have and look what you don't have. That's not what that is. Let God bless you and take care of His servants. Take care of His children. And we can also be a blessing to those of faith and those without faith. We can bless both kinds. And that's what prosperity is all about. And I want to challenge you to investigate the word more about God's will to prosper you and your family and your ministries and your businesses. You'll be surprised how much the Bible says about that. You were born with a rich nature. Somebody had to teach you how to be poor. You were not born with a poverty minded. You were born with an abundance mind. A little child runs to a candy store. And you tell the child, you can have one of anything you want in this store. They will get the biggest piece of chocolate there is and walk out with it. That's an abundant mindset. He didn't go over and get the little piece of chocolate. Grab the biggest block of chocolate and said, this is mine. A little child, I saw this happen on a plane. I'm trying to close, really I am. I saw a child on a plane come on with her mother. She had a baby in this arm. And one that could walk, you know. The little one. And this one got free and ran ahead of her onto the plane. And I happened to be sitting where I could see what was going on very clearly in here. I was close. And I saw the little child look both ways. The child saw the big seats called first class and saw the little seats called coach. And what did the child do? Anybody know? Ran straight to the big seats, jumped up in one of them and said, goes, Mommy, let's sit here. And I almost got up and grabbed the mother when she said this. She grabbed the little child's hand and pulled the child down and said, we're not that kind of people. We're the kind of people that sits back here. She was teaching her child poverty and lower class. It's the nature. It's your nature to like nice things. It's your nature to have abundance. It's how God made you. And to live in poverty is like taking a bird out here and sticking it underwater and say, be a fish. You're going to eventually die and give up. When you take how God made you and the things that you like, and we all like the same thing because it comes from the nature of God, and we're shoved into poverty, we have to be taught and slapped and mocked to accept it. It's against your nature to stay broke. It is your nature to like nice things. It's how God made you. It's a part of what you are. Instead of resisting it, let's accept it and learn how to walk it out correctly. Instead of saying, no, that's greedy, let's say, I accept God's blessings. How do I walk with them now with all this abundance? Wouldn't it be better to manage $10 million than $10? How many people in California can you feed with $1 million? How many churches can you build in the nations of the world with $1 million? Prosperity is not bad. It's just if you know how to manage it under God's blessing. Let's pray and close. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you that today has been a good day for all of us. And that the word we've spoken today is to make none feel bad, but all to feel good, and for all to begin to grow in your abundance. Father, I thank you for removing lack from our mindsets, and let scriptural abundance come alive to us, where there'll be more than enough to take care of our needs and be a blessing to somebody else. Bless these ministers. Bless them even now with their economics and their finances. We pray for you to prosper them. Honor their giving and their tithing they've already done in their life. And let their understanding increase, where things can get better for everybody. We thank you for the spirit of abundance to live upon each one of us, and that we are favored in your world that'll cause us to abound at every hand. I pray for them now, for you to be healed also in your body. We command the spirit of sickness and infirmity to release itself from you. I command it to go from you in the name of Jesus. And let that anointing to heal and to make right come upon your body right now. Let healings take place in their bodies. We thank you for miracles of healing and miracles of prosperity. We pray that for you today. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, also give them great opportunities in their life. Give them those doors of utterance that no man and woman can shut. And let their vision come to pass. Add to them what they have need of. And let them have eyes to see the doors you've opened for them. And I bless you in the name of Jesus. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet. And your families. Be blessed in the name of Jesus. Increase in Jesus' name. Go forward in the name of Jesus. And whatever has been stolen from you, may God do to you what it did to Job and restore it better back into your life. Let the restoration power of God come alive inside of your life. Whatever has been taken, let the God of heaven restore it back into your life. We bless those you with those words in Jesus' name. Let money be restored. Let health be restored. Let friendships be restored. Let opportunities be restored that have been lost in your life. Let those doors open better and wider for you. We pray that for you in Jesus' name. That restoration will come. Of everything stolen shall come back better than it ever was. Even in relationship with your families. Time where there's been division and strife. We speak peace into your home. And we speak peace into your marriages. And restoration into those things that need to be. Where there's been the lack of joy, let there be increased joy in your life. Increased joy in your families. And we place protection and blessing over you. In Jesus' mighty name. And Father, as we close today, we bless this college. This great seminary. We thank you that you'll add to this seminary. And meet every need of this seminary. Give her more students. And give our students greater opportunities. Bring more teachers, the right teachers they have need of. And bring more economics, more money to bless the school. We thank you for more partners and more blessers that will come to support the vision of this house. We pray for the increase and the enlargement of this house in every aspect. Let it grow and let it go forward. And we command resistance to go from it in Jesus' name. Let the voice of increase come up out of this house.
And
we think that revelation knowledge will flow into these students. And the mighty power of God will come through them. To save and to heal and to lift people. And we think that there shall be fruit that shall remain here and around the world. And there'll be joy in this house over the labor they have done for Jesus Christ. And we bless you in Jesus' name. And everybody said,